In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Before the break, we were remembering St. Michael and all angels. That's the church remembrance this day. Tomorrow, the church is going to be remembering late 4th century, early 5th century, primarily known as a translator of Scripture, Jerome. Now, you've probably heard the name, something vaguely connected to translating the Old and New Testaments from their original languages into Latin. Maybe you've heard about that translation of his. It's usually known as the Vulgate. But you associate him, perhaps, with things Roman Catholic. You really shouldn't. In fact, he's considered one of the big four big deals, even by Lutherans, and ought to be as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about Jerome as one of the four Western doctors. Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah, as the church moved on in time from those first centuries, there were four names that just really stood out as great, great teachers of the church. And they were regarded as the four doctors of the church, of the Western church. And these names include, first of all, we would not be the least bit surprised, Ambrose of Milan. The second one, who really is the towering one of all, Augustine. And Augustine had a lively correspondence going on with the one we commemorate tomorrow, Jerome. And after Jerome, it was Gregory the Great, Pope Gregory the Great of Rome, Pope St. Gregory. So these were the four great theologians of the Western Church. What's really significant, I think, is that of the four, Jerome was the one who was not a bishop. Jerome was a regular old pastor, if you will, priest of the church. He was not ever a bishop. And that kind of maybe set the stage for some of his own very blunt and brutal insights. For example, it is commentary on Titus. He observes, our Lutheran confessions cite this observation, that according to Scripture, the difference between a bishop and a priest is something of human custom, not something of divine establishment. The bishops owe whatever preeminence they have in the church more to human custom, he says, than to a divine command. So, the lowly priest reminds the great bishops, you're in the same office I'm in. We're sharing the same calling from God here, which is to speak his word and to speak it faithfully. He was very devoted to the ascetic life, but his great, well, early on, like St. Augustine, he was a big studier of pagan literature. He devoured it and had a great mind for it. But he finally reaches a point where he turns away from all of that, and he just devotes himself to the sacred scriptures. And unlike most of the other fathers who were content to learn and study the sacred scriptures in the Greek language, which is what they had from the Septuagint, right, was the most popular edition of the scriptures among the church fathers.
The Greek translation of the Old Testament, right, that was already at the time probably about 800 years old.
And yeah, it'd been around a long time, and 700 or 800 years, something like that. So, I mean, it's been around a while.
And then the Greek New Testament.
And then the Greek New Testament. But Greek was sort of the, this always sounds stupid, but you know what I mean, the lingua franca of the day. I mean, everybody spoke Greek. Putting something into Greek made sure that it was accessible to the very, it's kind of like what English is today. And you go around the world and most places you can find somebody who will speak to you in English. That's how Greek was around the Mediterranean world. And so it makes sense that that would be a very popular one. But Jerome wasn't content with that. Jerome wanted to know, what did the Hebrew say. And so of the fathers, he actually spent a lot of time learning from the rabbis how to read scripture in Hebrew. So his determination from that is, he said, I'm going to bring this whole thing into my language, which was Latin. He was going to make a Latin translation. You mentioned it earlier, the Vulgate. And
that was the language of Rome.
It was the language of Rome's officialdom.
Of the city of Rome.
But you would also find, for example, in the first centuries in the church, probably the worship in the city of Rome was conducted in Greek. It did move to Latin, but it was, and it's in this time that movement is clearly happening. And Jerome's desire then to put the word of God into a language of the official Roman Empire, the language that does indeed come to, in the West, replace the use of Greek. It becomes the lingua franca for a long time, a millennium. He does that by putting this Bible translation together. He actually works on it in Bethlehem, of all places, and works very hard to get this into the language, and he's very careful with the language. I want to share a quote from Chemnitz on him. I thought it was really beautiful. He says, "The genius of Jerome was most outstanding. His unique work entitles him to eternal praise because he translated the Bible from its original languages. And because he was also a man of much reading, many difficult questions have been learnedly explained by him. Thus, in this area, and especially in his commentaries, he is valuable and worth reading." But Chemnitz does go on to note, he is a bit unreliable when he comes upon anything, you know, just let him, you know how Chrysostom, if he could run off into the ditch of condemning riches, I mean, he would just, whenever the text got anywhere within 100 miles of it, he drove it over in that direction. Jerome was the same way with any ascetic discipline. So Chemnitz notes, when it comes to ascetic fanaticism, that he was terribly sharp, and he was also excessively vehement when he was refuting error. So when he's correcting somebody that's gone wrong, he was not the kind of person that would say, "Well, brother, have you really considered the implications of that?" He would just flat out say, "That's heresy. Don't say that." Some of his and Augustine's exchanges were dealing with that side of Jerome. But Chemnitz's conclusion is, "Thus, what pertains to grammatical and historical matters in Jerome's writings can help us much. But what pertains to doctrinal points is different," because he's always dealing with the specific context. I do think, though, the most beautiful quote from him that we have in the Lutheran Confessions is this, from his dialogue against the Pelagians, book one, paragraph or chapter 5. "We are righteous, therefore, when we confess that we are sinners, and our righteousness does not consist in our own merit, but in God's mercy." So you see how solid and good he is there when he's dealing with something like that. Tomorrow, September 30th, that is the day that he died. So like many saints, he's commemorated on what's called his heavenly birthday. And that was in 420. Like people that were recognized to be saints after their death, his bones were not left in peace. Of course, he was transferred to various places, including also the city of Rome.
So he was recognized even in life and in his death at this point as a big deal.
A big deal. Yeah, surely. If nothing else, his very lively correspondence with Augustine would have been helpful. And it's funny because Augustine took exception to something Jerome wrote. And I don't even remember what it was that he was objecting to now. But, you know, Jerome basically gets in a huff and writes back. And Augustine then gives this absolutely stunning answer where he says, "You know, I'm just not accustomed to regard anything except for the sacred scriptures as something that must, the canonical scriptures, as something which must be believed. About everything else, I reserve the right of judgment. So he basically tells Jerome, you are not the sacred scriptures. Back off. They, you know, you can be mistaken. We should also add, because of his great devotion to the ascetic life and his persuading other people that way, particularly some women, he ended up having scandal, where people would say, "Ah, you know, it's you're after that woman." He wasn't. I mean, the woman Paula was a godly woman, but finally he just had to leave Rome because it was getting too hot there. Because he did associate and hang out with her, but you have absolutely no reason to believe that there was ever anything untoward there. But the rumors did sort of drive him out.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this late 4th century, early 5th century translator of Scripture, Jerome. Some modern people have criticized his translation, but we need to talk a little bit about what he had to work with as opposed to modern translators of Scripture, and how actually remarkable it is, his translation, the Vulgate. We'll talk about all of that on the other side of the break with Pastor Will Wheaton, remembering Jerome. Stay tuned. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We are remembering along with the church one day in advance, St. Jerome. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to Pastor Ben Ball and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, for recently renewing their membership in our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. When your confessional Lutheran church pledges $1,000 in its mission or advertising budget, you not only support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., we also advertise your congregation on our podcast at our website and in the Issues Etc. journal. Now, most churches are preparing their budgets this fall, so download an informational flyer under the support page at issuesetc.org and inform your fellow parishioners about the Issues Etc. 300. Well, let's talk a little bit about the translation. You mentioned during the break that this Vulgate, Jerome's translation of Old and New Testament, was not only standard for the Roman Church, it was standard for Lutherans,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Lutherans read from it without hesitation for quite a long time. And there are some issues in the translation, a couple of things that are worth noting. Luther himself struggled with the... Jerome translated penitentia agite, that is, do penance. And when Luther started studying the Greek, you know, Erasmus's version of the Greek, he looks at it and he goes, metanoiate? Wait a minute. That means, you know, like change your mind, a changed perspective. That, you know, that's what's running behind a Greek idea of repent. So do penance versus get a new mind? There's a big difference here, a huge difference. So this sort of penal mindset to Latin, which does indeed just kind of tin that way theologically, he sees that's not there in the Greek, and that becomes huge to him. Another instance that I mentioned to you that I find fascinating, if you look at the art of the Middle Ages, you can see Jerome's translation very clearly led to this depiction of the Blessed Virgin Mary being the one, she's holding Christ in her arms, but it's her foot that's stomping the serpent's head. But that's because Jerome rendered the Vulgate at that point, she shall bruise your head. She shall bruise its head. So the picture of Mary actually doing the stomping, that's the Vulgate. And I mentioned to you, I still have never seen any kind of a Hebrew text that would ever justify that way of translating it, but that is what Jerome did.
And it is, we should note, this is still the official, and as official as anything could be in the Roman Catholic Church, this is their official text of Scripture.
Yeah, it is the, for Rome, it is, I don't think that's reformable. It's just that is the way that this is the authoritative translation of Scripture. But it's helpful then to just notice that when Scripture passes through any language, it invariably picks up stuff from that language so that you hear things in a different way. The words set off different bells, if you will, in your head, different, what's that called? Harmonics on your guitar or whatever. I mean, you can hear those other pitches start chiming in. That works differently from language to language. So the more this is why Luther was adamant. He said, lose the languages and you lose the gospel. Because he was convinced that we absolutely had to stay connected to these foundational biblical languages and not rely exclusively on translations, which always, even in the best of them, will pick up some of this baggage from the language that they're in.
And the great thing is Jerome would heartily agree with Luther on that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. I mean, that's his whole point. That's why he was trying to present in the Latin language what he thought the Greek of the Old Testament missed out on. So he wants to go to that original Hebrew and try to bring that in.
So with about 30 seconds here, what's the best thing we can remember about this father, one of those big four fathers, Jerome, with about 30 seconds?
Well, the big thing you remember about him is here's a man who absolutely loved the word of God and who studied it with care, who held it in his heart and sought to give that gift as the precious light that it is to the world. The prayer that's offered in Treasury for this day really nails it. O Lord God of truth, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You gave your servant Jerome delight in his study of Holy Scripture. May those who continue to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your word find it to be the food of salvation, the fountain of life.
Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio talk show called Thy Strong Word, and he's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Celebrating the Saints. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
In the next hour of Issues Etc., we're going to talk about female Mormon missionaries. You usually see the men walking around. Pastor Mark Cares, author of Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, will be our guest. Then we'll do Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.